I'm going to talk on a topic that I told Jeff I had about three things running his head. We're in a remodel right now, and so it's dusty. So I have a lot of, and I just don't want you guys to enjoy my a lot today. My wife and I, we've been in the last few months, we've been in process of moving. It's been an answer to prayer. We've been praying about for a number of years, downsizing a bit, and we finally got there, and we've discovered that the will of the Lord is a lot of work. Subject I want to talk to you today is, a number of weeks ago, maybe a few months ago, I spoke to you about David and Goliath, if you remember? And Goliath is the personification of fear and intimidation. And it was 1 year ago today, this Sunday, that we had our last service as Echo Hills for a number of weeks and a few months, actually. Our last service, if those of you remember, we did a gathering of churches and pastors, and we did Together We Pray. And on a Sunday night, we prayed together, and Jeff and I had met with some other pastors. One of the callings that we feel that is on our life is what we're doing together and joining is to make that part of the whole body of Christ and to bring unifying opportunities for the body of Christ in our valley, that we're really one church, okay? So there's some things we hold on tight in our tight grasp. One is this: Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. His blood, his death, resurrection, we're holding on to that tight. If a belief that Jesus isn't the Son of God, then we can't be in fellowship. But if you've got that, we're going to hold tight. Other things we hold loosely, and that might be, hey, we're Pentecostal in our persuasion, our worship experiences, so forth and so on. Hey, man, we hold that loosely. But together we are to bring unity to the body of Christ, not only here, but in the whole valley and beyond. Would you say amen to that? So we were offering some unifying opportunities. One was together to pray. We pray. Together We Worship was going to be 14 days of praise. And then August, we were going to do Together We Serve, where we were going to hopefully get 5, 6, 10 churches that we take a Sunday, and we all just get one, like, Church of the Valley t-shirts, and we just go serve the community. Wouldn't that have been cool, right? Wouldn't that have been awesome? But something started happening, and it was called, maybe you heard of it, right? And it began to dominate the headlines. It began to dominate our lives. And we thought, well, maybe a week, 2 weeks, a month, maybe a few months. Well, guys, at least for us, it's been a year. It's been a year since this COVID thing happened. And it's really brought disruption to our normal life. And in one, there's anniversaries I love to celebrate. My wife and I, we celebrate our wedding anniversary. And there's also anniversaries we don't like to celebrate. And I'm going to put COVID in that anniversary category. I'm not like going, yay! Okay, are you booing me or COVID? What are we doing here? Okay, I just want to make sure. I'm just like, oh, you hurt my feelings. But we've also seen the faithfulness of God. Think about it. We did not know what this was going to look like a year ago, and we have seen the faithfulness of God all the way through. If you had to teach your children from home, if you've lost your job, or you're more people working from home now than ever before, I mean, there's so much disruption that's taking place. And that's one of the reasons why a few weeks ago or a few months ago, I want to talk about David and Goliath, that it teaches us, that story teaches us the way to handle fear and intimidation and how not to handle it. So we have Saul, who was the anointed king to lead Israel into battle, but he was not in a good place with his relationship with God. And so instead of leading into battle, Saul led from fear. And I just want to challenge you, all of you, you're a leader. You're a leader. It might be one person, but you are a leader. From what motivation are you leading right now? And if we lead from fear, it means that we're focusing on the wrong thing. We can acknowledge things are happening, but people of faith recognize there is a God who is greater still in the midst of the challenge. And Saul led from fear to the point where he offered these great rewards if somebody would take on Goliath. Your family doesn't have to pay taxes. I'll let you marry my daughter. I mean, all this amazing stuff, and there were no takers because they were all afraid. We have Eliab. Eliab was David's older brother. And Eliab, his fear looked like anger. What I have seen in the church as well, and I've seen in the church community, is that brothers and sisters, in their fear, they're masking it with anger, and they're angry toward each other. David wasn't the battle. Goliath was. But Eliab was afraid to fight Goliath, so who's he taking out on? His brother. What are you doing here? You don't belong here. Who's watching those few sheep? You're arrogant. And David's like, what have I done? I just asked a question. And I've discovered that we can mask fear with anger. We're mad. We're frustrated with decisions that are being made. We feel out of control. We feel almost like victims, and we get angry. Well, dear ones, we're not the fight. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And we might have different thoughts on things, but we're still family. And then we learn from David. And David was able to take the faithfulness of God by killing a lion and a bear. And though he had never faced a giant, he was able to recognize the God who was faithful here is going to help me with the giant. So guys, you all have a story of God's faithfulness. It might not look like a pandemic. It doesn't have to. Take the faithfulness of God and say, that same God is going to help me help us in our future. Okay? So that was the story. This morning, here's how I want you to help me, because we're going to see another story of David taking on a giant. And this giant is different. This giant is a different story. David no longer is a young man with a sling. David is a seasoned king and a warrior. David had been the king of Israel. He had fought many battles, won them all. David was a mighty man, and the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. David was a man, though he did make some major gaffes in his walk with God, his heart of repentance to the Lord was evident, as we read in the Psalms, where he takes responsibility for his sin and asks God to cleanse and purify him. But David's in another battle. So will you go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 21? Thank you all for being here today. So we're going to start at 15. Why don't you do this real quick? Just take a deep breath. Let's start at verse 15 of chapter 21. I haven't told you how I want you to help me, have I yet? Okay, let me tell you what. We're going to talk about the giant of exhaustion. We're going to talk about the giant of exhaustion. And what I want you to do is, I want you to lean into the message, of course, but I want you to start thinking for me and with me, how do you maintain your spiritual, emotional, physical vitality? How do you stay just alive? How do you stay where you go, good morning, Lord, instead of, good Lord, it's morning. How do you maintain your spiritual energy? How do you maintain your strength? How do you do that? And we're going to learn from each other. And I want you to condense that down in just a few words. It could be, I pray, I go for a walk, but I want you, and we're going to just shout it out when I'm done. I want you to shout out, and let's learn from each other about how we can maintain a vitality emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, so that no matter what is ahead of us, we don't get exhausted. Verse 15. Read these first words with me, would you please? Read the first words out loud. Here we go. Once again, there was a battle. Stop. Read that again, would you? Once again, one more time, please. Once again, the Bible is very clear that we are in a war. The metaphors, one of the ways in which God, in His Word, describes our journey is warfare. It's battle. And we've got to understand that until Jesus either comes or we go to meet him in the air, the battle's not over until he rules and reigns on the earth. That once again, there is a battle. Whether you're 5 or you're 95, you don't get out of the battle until you're off the earth. Once again, there was a battle. And the imagery that we have to understand, Paul describes in 2 Timothy chapter 4, that Paul is at the very end of his life. He had faced death a number of times, but he knew this time it was over. He understood by the Spirit that he was no longer going to be on the earth. And how will he describe to Timothy, his young spiritual son? What words would he use to describe his journey? What was the last image in Timothy's mind when Paul talks about his walk with God? And we have heard this many times in funerals. But it's more than that. It's for us who are living. It's for us who are alive today. Paul says this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. He says, "For I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure." Now, look at the imagery. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day." And then he includes all of us, and not only to me, but also all who have longed for his appearing. I have fought the fight. Gang, I have fought the fight. There is no spiritual Switzerland. There is no neutrality. You and I are in a fight. And that fight will continue and continue until Jesus rules and reigns.
Now, we don't say, I don't say that to depress you. I don't say that to go, oh, the devil's after me. No, because we have victory in Christ. There is that place of victory. But here's the other point. Though Christ has won the victory over sin, we now still carry out that victory in our everyday living, and it is a fight. It is a battle. And Paul says, I have fought the fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished the race. This race is not a sprint. This race is a long distance race. It is not for a month. It's not for a year. It could be for 20 years. It could be for 100 years. Whatever the length of your race, it's not that quick. It is a race that we must run until the very end. I remember hearing people saying, man, I can't wait till 21 gets here. 2021, 2020, I'm done with 2020. Let's get to 2021. Well, how you doing? How's it going? Right? Everything changed for the good in 2021, right? We're walking on sunshine, right? Right? I mean, everything's perfect now. It's not, because we put these false endings. The race is won when Jesus comes. Until then, we got to keep running. We got to keep the faith. We've got to fight the fight. And the fight isn't with each other. The fight is with spiritual powers, Ephesians chapter 6. We have a real enemy who wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Why am I smiling? And that's the fight. It is to win the race. It is to finish, to keep the faith. Dear ones, all of us have been given a trust by Jesus Christ. And what God wants for all of us is that we finish well. I was a young man studying for ministry. Don't remember who the guy was, but it stuck with me for over 30 years. He said to me, Mike, people don't remember how you come, they remember how you finish. The Apostle Paul didn't start well, but look how he finished. He was a murderer. He persecuted the church. That was his start, but his finish was, I fought the fight. I've kept the faith. I finished the race. Now what is in store? Now it's a crown of righteousness that God will award to him on that day, and not only to Paul, but for all who long for his appearing. How many of you long for his appearing? Right? Right? So what's our job? Our job is, once again, the Philistines were at battle. And we've got to have that mindset of fighters. Paul talking to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1, 18 and 19, he says, Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them you may fight the good fight, holding on to faith and a good conscience. Holding on to faith and a good conscience. I've been a long time, guys. Some of you guys are older than me. Some of you guys are younger than me. I've been around a long time. And I can say honestly, I've seen people come and go in and out of faith. And the number one reason is they're tired. They don't hate God. They're not in rebellion to God. They're not like God doesn't exist. That's not it. They're exhausted. They're tired. And this is David. Read the story with me. Verse 15. David went down with his men to fight against the Philistines, and he became exhausted. This word exhausted doesn't mean he's just tired, you know, or you need a good night's sleep, or maybe you take a few days off. This word doesn't mean, if I just had a couple moments just to rest, take a deep breath, I can move on. This word exhausted means this: I want to fly away. I want to get out. I want to leave. Has anybody ever felt that way with your family? I'm teaching my kids from home. I love my kids. They're awesome, but give me a break from my kids. This idea of exhaustion means you begin to fantasize about how to leave your current experience because you know somewhere else it's going to be better. But you know you can't because you got responsibilities. David in Psalm 55, he uses this thought. He's in a very bad place, Psalm 55. He says this in verse 6 through 8. He said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. Here's that thought. I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. What is the desert? The desert was nobody's there. He just wants to get away from everybody. And during Psalm 55, he says this, God, you're not answering my prayers. Everywhere I look, I see enemies. My heart is distraught and I got terror within me. He's having nightmares. What does he want to do? Man of faith and power, I want to take the wings of a dove and get away to the desert where nobody can find me. And then here's that phrase that Jacqueline said last week, Selah. It's either a triumphant yes or a contemplative hmm. He's contemplating, can I get away being the king? Can I get away from these responsibilities? Oh, if I could just get away, my life would be better. My wife and I, we do this. We watch television, and we came across this show called Living the Mediterranean Life. And it's people who leave whatever country, and they live on the beach in Spain. And it's like, listen, it's like $1,400 a month. You can live right on the beach in Spain. And my wife and I started calculating, we could live about 10 months. I don't know what we'll do after that, but after 10 months, our lives will be perfect because we're living on the beach in Spain where you get fresh fruits and fresh vegetables and everybody is tan and everyone's really cool. Let's go there. I want to see them 3 years from now when they're bored from doing the same thing over and over again, right? This fantasizing of a getting away. David is exhausted. He's not just, oh man, I'm tired. He's engaged in the battle. He knows he doesn't have the strength to finish it, but he can't disengage because if he does, he's dead. Clang, clang, clang. Hear the clanging of the cymbals, of the swords. Here's David. He's fighting. Bam, bam, bam. And he is now, he's getting tired. He recognizes within himself that as the next guy comes to fight him, it's getting weaker and weaker. His sword's coming down. His shield's getting lower. He's fighting. He's protecting himself. He's doing the Lord's work. He's God's anointed. He's God's chosen. And he's getting weaker and weaker. And if something doesn't happen, God's anointed is going to be dead on the battlefield. Can it get worse? Yes! Look at verse 16. And Ishbi-Benob, his name means he who rules from Benob. Or from Nob. It means one who calls, takes your breath away. It means this guy who intimidates. And I think it means I'm mad at my mom for calling me Ishbi-Benob. And Ishbi-Benob, one of the descendants of Rapha, whose bronze spearhead, the Bible loves telling about the size of their spearheads, weighed 300 shekels and was armed with a new sword, said he would kill David. So it got worse. David is exhausted. He's trying to disengage, but he can't. He's fighting and fighting and fighting. He's getting tired, and over the crest of the hill comes a giant whose eye is fixed on him. Scripture indicates that this giant was waiting for David to be at this point. He didn't attack when David was at full strength. He was waiting and watching for David to get tired. And what we find in our scriptures is that is a tactic of our enemy. Jesus in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, he's 40 days in the wilderness. He's not at a spa drinking lemon water. He is in a deserted area for 40 days, and he's hungry. Then who appears? Satan to tempt him. 1 Peter chapter 5, the enemy goes around like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. How does a lion attack? The lion roars and he picks off the weak, the isolated, the young. We find out in Jesus when he's at the garden, the disciples in Luke, they're with Jesus and Jesus says, come, stay with me and pray. And the Bible says in Luke, the disciples, exhausted from sorrow, fall asleep. What does Jesus say? Stay with me and pray, lest you fall into temptation. But because they were exhausted with sorrow, when the temptation came and the soldiers arrived, Peter starts whacking off ears. They all start scattering in all different directions. And though they had given them the utmost fidelity, we will die with you. Nothing will separate us. We will go with you even to death. In their exhaustion and their weariness, when it came to it, they're gone. And it's sad to say, I'll say it again, guys, it's sad to say I've seen men and women of God who do the right thing year after year, say the right prayers year after year, faithful year after year, but internally they are tired. And it could be a long-term physical situation. It could be something where the prayers aren't being answered. It could be a number of things, but they know it. They're tired. And if just one more thing happens, if just one more thing takes place, and the giant shows up. I thought this would be a happy sermon, but we're not done yet. I preach messages like this my whole 30-something years of ministry. It's nothing new. I feel this so deeply within my heart that I say it over and over and over again. Verse 17, I say the same thing so many different ways over and over again because I believe that it is one of the major keys to seeing God do things in the life of believers. It is my heart's passion. It is my gifting. It's what I focus on. And it's verse 17, but Abishai. Abishai was one of David's mighty soldiers. His name means gift from God. But Abishai, son of Zeruiah, came to David's rescue. He struck the Philistine down, and he killed him. David did not have what it took to win this battle, but somebody else did for him. The thought me and Jesus have a good thing going is a bunch of hooey, because the Bible is filled with y'all. It's never just Jesus and I. It's us and Jesus. And I have seen way too often people who think, man, me and God, I have decided to follow Jesus. No, none go with me, so I will follow. That's great. But there's supposed to be a lot of people who are going with us. And David's dead, except for Abishai. Abishai has got his own fight. Abishai is in the battle himself. But as he's fighting, he's keeping his eye on the one he loves. As he's battling, he's saying, hey, David, get your sword up. Hey, David, you're getting tired. David, do you see the giant? David, you got to get your arm. David, come in. And David is exhausted. He has nothing left to give. So what does Abishai do? He steps in front of the giant, and at the risk of his very own life, he stands in front of his brother and his king and says, I will take him on for you. Jesus says in John chapter 15, no greater love. There is no greater love than this, that someone lays down their life for a brother. There is no greater love. And you and I might not have to risk our physical life, but we can lay down our lives for others by standing in front of them and saying, you know what? I'm binding myself to you. Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to bear this burden with you. You are not alone. You will never be alone because I'm going to stand with you. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Two are better than one. My compatriot in crime, I am a better person because of that man. Two are better than one. He says, because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls down and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And what COVID has done, more than anything else that I believe, it's isolated people. Should you get the shot? Should you not get the shot? Do you believe it? Should you wear a mask? Should you not wear a mask? Okay, whatever. But what I have known, I've known people now for over a year who have not left their home. I've known people for over a year that have not had physical contact. And if you remember, I don't know how many months ago, Jeff passionately spoke out of Hebrews chapter 10. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a habit of son, that you might what? Encourage one another, and all the more as you say the day approaching. We've got to find ways to stay encouraged because the enemy doesn't change his tactics. You're tired, you're weary, you're isolated, you're dead. And though you might proclaim Christ, you know internally there's no life there. You're just existing. And your dreams are about getting away. Your dreams are about that husband who is a bit of a jerk. Maybe if I could find a better man, my life would be better. No. That woman you gave me, Lord. Those kids, they're driving me nuts. This job, this church, this, and everything's here when the reality is you're exhausted here and you're not thinking straight. You're just not thinking straight, but it makes so much sense in the moment. And I can't tell you how many times I've sat in my office with people and the decisions they're making is like, are you stupid? How do you take in oxygen and be so stupid? But at the moment, it seems brilliant. And what's the problem? They're tired. And now the voice of the giant goes, you're dead. And they separate themselves from people who've proven their love for them. And they isolate from them. And when we isolate from each other, it won't happen the first week or the second week or the third week or the fourth week or the fifth week or the sixth week. But once again, there'll be a battle. And there will come a time when you will not have the right stuff to deal with what you're going through. And woe to the person who has no one to pick them up. There is no Abishai. And you are loved and you are cherished and you're adored by God, but you've isolated yourself from the very people who are looking out for you and saying, I'll fight this battle with you. I've seen it to my heart's breaking so many times. Thank God for the people who come to their senses quickly, but I have talked to people years later who come into my office and go, what was I thinking? I left the only one who loved me. I left the, I don't even know what was going on. And they wouldn't listen to the counsel of the Abishai who says, Hey, listen, you're not thinking straight. Your sword's down. Your armor needs to come up. We're here for you. And they go ahead and follow their plans to the destruction of their life. I'm pretty passionate about this. And then we go into this, nobody cares for me. I've been in church and I've missed church for 2 weeks and no one called me. And then we put expectations on folks that only Jesus can fulfill. And all it is a lion and a giant going, I got to get you isolated because I can't beat you if you're in the group. I can't beat you if you're in the group. I got to get you by yourself. Every one of us will go through a time of exhaustion. Every one of us will. Who picks you up? Okay, Jesus. Amen. Great. But Jesus also made a body. Jesus also, the Bible calls us a family. A warrior, a soldier who fights on their own is called dead. Even Ephesians 6 is not about I put up my armor and I fight myself. The whole idea is the armor of all the family together, the soldiers together who put their shields together and they face one direction and they fight and they protect each other's flank. The whole idea of a 6 is not just one person. It's all of us putting our shields together, fighting the good fight of faith, finishing the race, keeping the faith. And David isn't some 12-year-old with a slingshot. David is a seasoned man who doesn't have what it takes. Dear friends, I would not be standing here without Abishai's in my life. I can tell you honestly, without people in my life who looked out for me, I would not be standing here. And there would be times I wouldn't even go back to church. But Abishai said, get your butt up, you're going to church. And that Abishai was my wife. And I have cultivated intentionally relationships with people in the good times so that when the exhaustion comes, I know who to turn to. I know who to call, and they'll take my call. And I can say, hey, listen, man, I'm not doing well. I had it this last week. I told Jeff, we had a number of incidences that were just frustrating beyond in this move, just frustrating. This big mistake happened, and I'm talking to the person on the phone, and I raise my voice, and I'm angry. No. I am almost perfect, and I don't want you guys to think any different of me. So I was mad. I hadn't been that mad in a long time. Talked to this person. You know, they didn't take any responsibility for this. It wasn't a church thing. It was a move thing. So it wasn't nobody here. They didn't take any responsibility. In fact, they blamed me for the problem. And I went the, oh, no, you didn't, wrote, right, okay? I want to talk to your boss. Well, she's not here, not available. I want to talk to her boss. Well, she's on vacation. Sure, she is, right? And so everything, it's your fault. You did la, la, la. And I raise my voice, and I'm just intense. And so I call my Abishai. His name is David Morgan. He's the counselor. I go, Dave, I'm going to tell you exactly what I said. I'm going to tell you how I said it. I'm going to use the same tone of voice. I'm not going to mix anything. You tell me if I need to ask for forgiveness. And so I told him, and he goes, Mike, did you cuss them out? I said, no. Did you threaten their family? No. Did you bodily harm? No. You're good. Thank you, Abishai, because I was so tired that I didn't know if I was seeing clearly. And listen, when you're tired, just assume you're not. And I try to look like this, halt. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. If you're hungry, angry, lonely, tired, stop and turn to Abishai and let them help you in that time. Jesus in Matthew 11 says, come unto me all who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. The word rest doesn't mean sleep. It means a pause, an intermission. It's a break. So that's one of the ways we do. We come to him. And contextually, he's talking about people who are exhausted because of all the religious systems of the day. But the principle is true. If you're tired, come to Jesus. Talk to him about it. But also, along with that, who is your Abishai? Who is it that you know if the call comes, even if it's at 3 a.m, you know they're going to take your call? How do you maintain spiritual, emotional, mental vitality? Give me a couple words. What do you do to stay strong mentally and emotionally and spiritually? What do you do? Worship. Who said sleep? Sleep, right? Skiing. Some of it's physical activity. What else? What's that? Pause. Stop for a minute. Pause. Escapeville, is that what you said? Estate sales. buying stuff. I like it. What's that? Work in the garden. Talk to God in God's love. Treadmill, right? Adjusting expectations. Call Pastor Mike. That's a bad idea. Denial is more than a river in Egypt. And what happens when you're tired? You live in denial. How you doing? I'm okay. How's your prayer life? Could be better. Are you sleeping okay? Yeah, I'm okay. I mean, it's a denial. That's an indication you're exhausted. Do you have the energy in the morning for the things that are happening in the day? You might not have it that day, but pay attention. If this keeps going, you are getting to that point of exhaustion. If you start entertaining thoughts like, man, what would it be like if we went to? And then someplace else is always better than where you're at. It is imperative that we, in this time, are not wore out, but we are people who are getting strength to strength to strength. And we have to discover, I am a verbal processor. That means I have to talk out what's in my head or I'll go crazy. So I got to be very careful with who I choose to be my Abishai, because I might say stuff that sounds crazy, and if they think I'm going to do that, then they think I am crazy. I'm not crazy. I just got to get it out of my head or it's going to drive me nuts. It takes energy. So I talk. I hear myself say some stuff and go, well, that's just stupid. I'm not going to do that. But I have to get it from here to here to here. And I need Abishai to be with me in that. This is why we are preaching. We're family. It's more than do you go to a church building. Because you sit in a garage doesn't make you a car. Because you sit in a building doesn't mean you have Abishai in your life. And Abishai, here's my last thought and we're done. Abishai has to care for you more than they care for themselves. Abishai has to be someone who's looking out for you, not what you can do for them. I'm done. Would you stand with us, please, together? Atta boy. Absolutely, Jeff, come on up. Mike? Yeah.
I want you to realize that developing that relationship with your Abishai isn't going to happen by staring at the back of someone's head.
Right.
Right? There's got to be engagement outside of this gathering. And it might start by just saying, hey, can we get a cup of coffee?
Right.
Hey, I'm looking for someone to study the Bible with. And you might get 10 no's before you find a yes.
Right.
And you might get 10 yeses, but realize they're not capable of being what you may need.
Right. Yes, good.
And so don't give up in that. David and Abishai warred together many more times before that one moment.
Right.
And so there are things that you and I, that Pastor Mike and I, we're contending for that are actually going to take place outside of this gathering that is vital to the message this morning. Amen?
Amen. No, stay. So we're gonna, so, I want to have you pray.
Yeah, I just want to, we're going to close in prayer and send you out of here, because the truth is, where does your friend live? That you just
Las Vegas.
See, the counselor he called, the friend, the Abishai in that moment that he needed is in Vegas. Mine is still in Hawaii, who I call. And, you know, in those moments, we have each other, we got our spouses, we got our families, and some of you. But they might not live here. But here's the other thing. The author of that book you love, they're not going to be your Abishai.
Right?
They can be a great reminder of who you are and who you can be and who you should be. But I guarantee you, in the battle, if you just hold up that book, hoping that that author or that great pastor in some other city, pastor in another church that doesn't know your name, that's not the heart of what God wants. And so would you just lift up your heart and raise your heads before the Father?
Yes.
Just knowing that, Lord, you have lifted up our head today. You have lifted up our head to see the battlefield, to see what is set before us. To recognize our strengths and our weaknesses, to be compelled to recognize, Father, who else is in the battle with us, and who we're called to stand with, and who we can get to stand in front of and take on the giant that's after them, and who's going to stand in front of us and take on the giant in front of us. And so, Father, we declare that there is such a great hope this morning, knowing that you see us right where we're at. Come on, I pray that each and every one of you this morning would hear the voice of the Lord to go where you need to go and be the Abishai that you're called to be for that person. And it might come as a still small voice that just says, hey, you need to call so-and-so today. Not just think on them, not just pray for them, but just pick up the phone and go, hey, how have you been? Some of you might see a phone number come across the caller ID on your phone and go, oh man, I haven't heard from them in a while. I'd love to talk to them, but I don't really have the time. Would you just stop and just go, let me see what's going on, and answer the phone, and if they're asking, hey, would you pray for me? I just need somebody to connect with, that you would stand up in that moment and be the obituary that they might need. And so, Lord, I thank you. Let's go after one other thing. Father, I ask that there would be forgiveness in this place towards those that we thought were our obituaries, that we needed in that battle but didn't find or didn't reach out to, or they didn't come the way we thought they would come. And that we would release them with love and grace, and yet not cut off the value of relationship. Maybe it looks different. Maybe it needs to be developed different. Maybe for some of you, you would be wise to consider giving others permission, because you might have a persona that looks so strong all the time that they don't actually think you need them, or that you're in need of an obituary. And so, Lord, let vulnerability, transparency, and love be what we stand in and stand for. And if you're here this morning and Jesus Christ is not the first that you seek out or know to seek out, if Jesus Christ hasn't been made your Lord and Savior yet, would you just make this confession? Lord, today I make you, Jesus, my shield, my Savior, my deliverer, my strength. And Jesus, would you teach me how to walk in the love that you showed through the laying down of your life? Father God, would you show me what it means to live in oneness with you and with the body and family of Jesus Christ? Holy Spirit, we welcome you this morning to reveal our strengths and our weaknesses, to reveal to us where you're doing a work, and then where we get to partner with others and do a work. And Father, as we began, may we finish this way. Let heaven be known on earth through me. In the name of Jesus, amen. 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 Would you honor the word and Pastor Mike this morning? Thank you.